Do we have any kids in the house this morning? I need your help, okay? I need all the kids. Come on up to the stage. You're my illustration today. I brought a gigantic box of Ethan's Legos, and I would like you guys to build some Legos this morning. Okay, now a couple ground rules here. You got to kind of build quietly, okay? So not a lot of talking, but I want to see some stuff. Let's get creative. Get in there, spread them out, okay, and start building. You get to build Legos and listen to the sermon, okay? Janelle's ministry over many years, not just beginning today as we commission her, but Janelle's ministry has had a focus towards young people. She shared as we did this VBS recently, this was her 30th, is that correct? Her 30th VBS program that she's been involved in helping to run. And her first one was actually here at this church in this building, right? 30 VBSs back. And so I was thinking about that. What a special thing that God has given you a heart, and a lot of your ministry has been directed towards young people. And so I was thinking about that and thinking, you know, Lord, what could I share today to give you a charge and to share that charge with the church? And so I was thinking about this text, Mark 10:13-16, and I titled my little devotional here, Faith Like a Child. And let me just read these verses here before we begin and think about how this goes. You guys doing good back here? Yeah? Good? Everything good? Okay. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. He said to them, he said to his disciples, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a small child, like a child, shall not enter it." And he took them into his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, when you think about the context for this, it's a fascinating thing. Jesus has been traveling all over the place. He comes into the area of Judea, beyond the Jordan, and immediately the Pharisees, who are like buzzing flies, you know, they just come in, they're constantly after Jesus, they test him with a question on divorce, a very heavy, weighty, serious question, and their goal is to trip him up. They want Jesus to take sides with one of two primary rabbis of the day who disagreed on this point. Okay, so Jesus is attempting to come in here and, as he always does, perfectly answer their issue and do it in such a way that doesn't divide the audience, that calls down what is most true and basically shows the Pharisees for what they really are. And he's doing this right before they begin to bring the children to him. Okay, so context is helpful. Man, those things are noisy. Jesus is trying to answer a question about divorce and remarriage and faithfulness and marriage vow. This is an adult conversation, okay? The context of this sets this up incredibly. And here comes these parents. Now, one of the things you realize is these parents knew that Jesus was not your average run-of-the-mill rabbi. Because in this day, you didn't have Jewish rabbis spending a lot of time with little kids. In fact, in this day, culturally, children just were not valued. They just weren't prioritized in the run of things. It was, let's grow them up, get them up, raise them up to be adults, and get them over that stuff. And so here comes these families, these parents, and they want Jesus to lay his hands on their children and bless them. And the disciples are turning them away. They, no, look, no kids allowed here. Do you not realize how serious this is? Jesus doesn't have time to be messing around with kids. This is serious stuff, real ministry. And so they turn these parents back. Jesus sees this, and he is indignant. He is fired up. Mark doesn't often use language to describe Jesus this way. He was indignant, and he said, "Let the children come. Do not hinder them." That's a double command. "Bring them to me, and stop keeping them away. I want those kids right in here. What a fascinating response. Jesus was an unorthodox Jewish rabbi. I mean, in the sense that he was not your typical rabbi. These parents knew it, but his disciples hadn't yet figured this out. Sometimes in church, sometimes in ministry, the kids are relegated to the back corner room to watch VeggieTales or something. In this church, that's not how we roll. We want, from a young age, we want to raise these children up, make disciples of them. We want them to be owning this church as much as the adults. We want them to say, that's my church. Mom and Dad, we need to go to church, not your church, our church, to share in the ministry, to participate. Missional importance. Janelle, as you think about the ministry that God has given you, it would be easy for you to say, or for us to say, you know what, those parents, those are the real missionaries. They're the frontier types. They're going to places where kids aren't safe, right? So they have to leave them here. Or they're on such an important job and assignment in the kingdom building work that their kids can't be with them. That's really where the focus of this mission should be. And we would be so wrong to think that way, wouldn't we? The missional importance that Jesus had in view when he came on his ministry for those 3 years included children, young people. And so, Janelle, as you go, we know and would encourage you to keep that in view, how critically important your ministry to these young people is. They are your mission field. They are an unreached group as you come in with the gospel to shine and reach and display. And I want to challenge us all to think this way. This is our mission field as well. Parents, your greatest mission field are the children God has entrusted to your care. That's your greatest number one mission field. And where we go when we raise these children up in our church, making disciples of all the nations, young and old, is the call. Jesus is a Savior to all who believe. And Janelle, it's so important. It's so important to have this in view, that you are going to make these disciples, these young people. And imagine if all of these were junior hires. It's going to be a challenge, but it is such an awesome opportunity to make disciples, to live out the gospel, to introduce them and walk them along with this Jesus who is their Savior. I remember when I was 5 years old, my dad was sharing the gospel with a little old lady, and by God's grace, the Holy Spirit just breathed into me the life of regeneration, and I felt the weight of my sin. And I knew I needed to be saved. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, what you were sharing with her, I need that. I need Jesus to forgive me and save me and be my Savior and Lord. And that was like yesterday. We're coming up on 32 years ago. And I remember it as crystal clear as anything. Jesus is the Savior, not of just adults, but of the children, the young people. And so would encourage you, church, and Janelle, we have a missional priority here. It's not just frontier missions that matter. It's young people as well. And we're going to all the nations. Now, Janelle, as you go, I want to encourage you as well that you are not only a teacher, you're also a student. And sometimes it's easy in the midst of the work of ministry to forget these things. We have much to learn from these. Look at how Jesus says this. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. What's he saying? Well, one of the things that we understand about children is their understanding of their dependence for everything. I mean, you think about little Isla here. It's her birthday party today, right? So we're going to celebrate little Isla's birthday. How old is she now? One? 1 year old, okay? I had so much fun VBS week. She needed someone to hold her. I got to hang out with her. And we had a blast, but she would reach her arms up right? And everything in that act said, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I can't even walk. I'm here. Help me. And she's looking for all that she needs from outside of her. That's what Jesus is saying. We understand how the gospel happens when we say, you know what? I bring nothing to the table. I bring nothing. I need everything. And so, Janelle, as you have the opportunity to work with these young people, be reminded of, in just watching them as they grow, how the kingdom of God is entered into. Jesus called this out for his disciples. It's the little ones who show us what true faith is. It doesn't mean that it's an immature faith. It doesn't mean that all kids are saved. It means that our faith is rooted in absolute dependence upon the Lord, our Savior. It's outside of us. In Matthew 18, just a little earlier, when Jesus' disciples were behaving like children, really, arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus said this. He calls the child over, and he put him in the midst of them, and he said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There is a humility to the gospel. There is an awareness of my lack that sets me in the right place to receive all of his sufficient work for me. Our dependence is God's delight. Our total inadequacy comes to meet God's all-sufficient adequacy. When I am weak, Paul says, then I am strong. And so just like little ones who look to their parents for everything, we learn that is the way the kingdom of God happens. That's the gospel on display. We are weak. He is strong. Paul says, I will boast all the more in my weakness. So our dependence is God's delight. Janelle, remember this, because there will be days where you are looked to as teacher, and inside your heart will be saying, oh Lord, how can I do this? You're going to be lonely. You're going to be frustrated. Your dependence is God's delight. And I don't know how many different things, we could count them as we've journeyed to this place today and say, look at how he's come through. Look at how he's answered prayers. There have been some incredible displays of God's all-sufficient need-meeting joy and our total dependence upon him every step along the way. Those are gifts of God's grace. And I think they equip you and they've equipped us. When God calls, he provides. When he calls, he provides. Goes on and says this, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Now think about that. Just think about whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And so, Janelle, the opportunity you have as you live out the gospel, as you share and challenge these young people with the gospel, remember that that work is as if you are being Jesus to these children. You are taking on the form of Christ and letting Jesus come through you to these kids. And in doing so, you are helping, you are crying with, you are entering into the loneliness of missing the parents. It's as if you are serving and ministering to Christ himself as you care for these kids. What an amazing thing. So the opportunity is there, but there's more. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. Now that's a sobering thought. It's a sobering thought for parents. It's a sobering thought for the congregation, the family of God at large. It certainly is a sobering thought for anyone heading into a mission that deals with young people and little ones. And so it's not just opportunity, but there's also accountability. And Janelle, I want to encourage you, make sure you guard your life. Guard your heart. Watch yourself. Keep integrity. And be consistent in your display of the gospel. The millstone was not just Jesus' imagination. This was a capital punishment form in the day. And those to whom he shared this with would have probably seen this at some point along the way. And as you can play this one out, you tie someone to a millstone around their neck and then you roll it into the sea. They're dead before they even touch the water. This is a terrible way to go. The millstone usually weighed between 12,000 to 15,000 pounds. 2,000 to 15,000 pounds. This was a major rock. Jesus says, don't mess around. Don't play with fire. This is serious. He is the defender of these little ones. And there's accountability there. I remember as a teenager, my mom, from time to time, would whisper to me, Jeremy, little eyes, little ears. And it was right, because I was probably doing something or behaving in such a way that was a bad example, this, that, or the other. These little eyes and little ears are taking their cues. And the way you respond is either going to confirm the words of the gospel or deny it. The way that you trust and depend upon God either confirms that He is sufficient or it denies it. The way that we as a church display the gospel every day, parents, the gospel is made alive in the moments of your greatest weakness. And those little eyes and little ears are watching. There's accountability here. So Janelle, as you head out, I'm so excited for the ministry that God has unfolded for you. I'm excited that this ministry is something that is consistent with how He's been training and growing and establishing you to minister over the years. I'm excited because I see the evidence of God's grace strong and at work in your life. And the opportunity is huge. I can't wait to hear some of the names of these kids and get to know some of their stories. Imagine some of this is pretty difficult for them as they're here and some of their parents are gone. Be encouraged that while you are a sinner, you have a great Savior. The kids whose little eyes and little ears will be watching are keenly aware that you're a sinner. Parents, your children know this. Just ask them. They know. The question is not, am I perfect? Everyone knows you're not. No one is. The question is, what do I do with it? How does Jesus meet me in that place? And that's where the gospel shines. And so, Janelle, as we send you out, we, in many ways, we go with you. And we want to be together in this. And so as I was thinking about a response this morning, I think maybe the best way to do this would just be to gather at the cross. It's not every day that we have this opportunity. And this cross stands for everything that we hold dear. And I was just thinking, you know, what a memory it would be to have the entire church gather together at the foot of this cross and just pray for you, Janelle, and lay our hands on you. I would just encourage us, stand up and come on down. Janelle, we'll have you be here. And then especially those of you who are very, very close, family members, we'd like to get you right up in here. Elders would encourage you to be close. And then we'll just gather everybody else around, and then we'll pray. So come on down. Come join us. Lord, we are grateful for this day. We've looked forward to it for a long time, and there were so many things, Lord, that had to come together for this to happen, and you have answered countless prayers. Lord, so many ways you have displayed your grace and your sufficiency, and so we are overjoyed to see one of our own family members heading out to serve you, and we, Lord, we own this. We go with her, and I thank you for being God all-sufficient and meeting us in our weakness. And so we want to commit Janelle to you and ask that you bless her and equip her and strengthen her as she goes. Pave the way, Lord, and open the doors for an exciting ministry. ahead for her.